Thank you for purchasing Free Tours by Foot and Atlantis Audio Tours self-guided audio tour. I wanted to let you know how this works before we get started. The audio tour is one long audio file. You can pause between stops as you walk there, allowing you to take your time and stop to explore something more if you'd like. I'll let you know as we move between stops. You'll also find a Google Map and a PDF in your confirmation email in case you'd like to check where you are or read along with your guide. Let's get started with your tour, and I'll let you know when to pause to get to your next stop.
Hi, I'm Catherine with Free Tours by Foot, here to guide you on a tour of Soho. This tour starts at the corner of Spring Street and 6th Avenue. To get here, you can take the C or E train to the Spring Street station. When you exit the subway, go to the starting point at the northeast corner of Spring and 6th Avenue. This will be in front of the God's Love We Deliver Michael Kors building. While you tour the area, you will see that many of the street signs are brown, not green like standard street signs. Brown street signs indicate that those streets and area are a designated historic district. Soho was landmarked in 1973, which is one of the reasons so much of its old architecture remains intact. As you stand on this corner and look around, it's hard to imagine that this area was once forest, marshland, and meadows. There was also a freshwater spring that still exists today. This is how Spring Street got its name. Soho's first occupants were Native Americans, then Dutch colonists, and later British colonists. In 1760, during the colonial era, a wealthy British major, Abraham Mortimer, bought 26 acres and built a mansion called Richmond Hill. At the start of the Revolutionary War in July 1776, General George Washington briefly took over the mansion to use as his headquarters. When the war was over, John Adams, the first Vice President of the United States, lived in the mansion from 1789 to 1790, when New York City was the federal capital. He went on to become the second President of the United States. From 1791 to 1804, the mansion was home to Aaron Burr, America's third Vice President. Burr is best known for the infamous duel in 1804 against his political foe Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton was fatally wounded and died 2 days later. He's now buried in the graveyard of Trinity Church, included on our Lower Manhattan tour. Burr sold the Richmond Hill Mansion and fled New York. While the duel is well known, not many people know about Burr's role in the formation of the now massive banking institution Chase Bank. In 1798, New York City suffered deadly yellow fever outbreaks, killing thousands of people. It was believed that the illness spread through dirty water. Burr established a waterworks company and named it the Manhattan Company, with the supposed aim of bringing clean water to the city from upstate. In fact, Burr's real intent was to establish an enterprise with a charter that made it legally possible for him to create a second bank for the city to compete with Alexander Hamilton's Bank of New York. Burr's waterworks enterprise was a failure, having constructed a cheap and ultimately ineffective system of wooden water mains. But Burr did get his bank and named it the Bank of Manhattan. In 1955, it merged with Chase National Bank to become Chase Manhattan Bank, now just Chase Bank. The modern Chase logo is an artistic representation of the wooden water mains. From the subway station now, walk about 200 feet along Spring Street. East is the same direction that traffic is flowing. Stop when you come to Dominique Ancel Bakery at 189 Spring Street.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
This is the birthplace of the world-famous Cronut, a croissant-donut hybrid. Created in 2013, this unique pastry innovation is trademarked by its creator, Dominique Ancel, and pastry fans around the world have made it the most virally talked about dessert item in history. If you want to try one, you'll have to get here early, since they sell out fast. They're open on Mondays to Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now turn away from the bakery and look directly across Spring Street, where you will see two short red brick row houses at 188 and 190 Spring Street. These single-family homes were built in 1899, and though much of both houses have been altered, they retain some of their original 19th century features. For example, They are 3.5 stories, have the original gable roofs, as well as a small amount of Flemish bond brickwork. These two well-preserved houses are typical of the style of house you could find in Lower Manhattan in that era. Now continue walking east on Spring Street until you get to Thompson Street. Cross Thompson Street to Famous Ben's Pizzeria, and then stop.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
This pizzeria opened in 1977 and is known for its good pizza and its great zeppoli, sweet fried dough balls with powdered sugar. Ben's Pizza is also known for appearing in scenes from the movie Men in Black 2 and in an episode of Sex and the City. Ben's is just one of the many Soho locations where movies and TV shows have been filmed. Soho is a popular movie locale because of its unique character, its attractive architecture, and its stylish shops and restaurants. Here are just a handful of movies with scenes filmed here. In 1985, film director Martin Scorsese made the dark comedy After Hours. Much of it takes place in the narrow streets of Soho as a businessman finds himself on a wild goose chase in the middle of the night that takes him deep into the dark, artsy world of Soho in the 1980s. This movie provides a glimpse into what Soho looked like before it was completely transformed into the posh, expensive neighborhood that it is today. Other movies filmed in Soho include the controversial erotica movie from 1986, 9.5 Weeks, with Kim Basinger and Mickey Rourke. In 1997, Matthew Broderick and Meg Ryan starred in the comedy Addicted to Love and play neighbors on Worcester Street. In 2000, Sandra Bullock played a recovering alcoholic who lived in Soho in the film 28 Days. In real life, Sandra Bullock lived in Soho for a few years at 114 Sullivan Street. No list of Soho movie locations would be complete without mentioning Ghost, the 1990 romance with Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze, and Whoopi Goldberg. We'll be passing by the Ghost building later on in this tour. Now walk north on Thompson Street, against the flow of traffic, for one block until you get to Prince Street. As you walk, take note of Vesuvio Playground on the other side of the street. It was named in honor of Anthony Dipolitano, the owner of the now-closed Vesuvio Bakery. Dipolitano was very active on the local community board and dedicated his time to making sure that the playground received city funding to keep it in good conditions and to get upgrades when needed. When you reach Prince Street, make a right turn and walk to 160 Prince.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
Here you will find the Birdbath Bakery, though you might not believe that since the entire storefront and awning indicate that this is still Vesuvio Bakery. In 1920, Dipolitano's parents opened Vesuvio to cater to the large Italian-American population. In the late 1800s, Italian immigrants came to New York by the tens of thousands, and those who did not move into the already packed Little Italy settled among these streets, crammed into the short tenement buildings. What is now Northern Soho was called the South Village, an extension of Greenwich Village, which was also heavily populated with Italian immigrants. When Dipolitano passed away, Vesuvio closed after more than 80 years. When the owner of Birdbath moved into the space, they understood the sentimental significance and charm of the original storefront and decided to keep the Vesuvio name painted in green on the glass windows. Their own name is small and stashed at the lower left-hand corner of the left window. Stop in and grab a treat if you'd like. When you're done, continue on Prince Street to the corner. Cross Prince Street towards the coach shop. Walk east on Prince, against the traffic flow, and stop at 141 Prince Street.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
This is the Louis K. Meisel Gallery. This highly esteemed art gallery is known for its collection of original pinup art. It is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., but closed on Sundays and Mondays. There is no fee to walk into this art gallery, or, in fact, any art gallery in Soho, unless they're having a private event. For fans of the HBO show Sex and the City, this is the art gallery where Charlotte worked. For diehard Sex and the City fans, check out our posts Sex and the City Self-Guided Tour and Where is Carrie Bradshaw's Apartment? Now walk on Prince Street to the corner and make a left turn onto Worcester Street. Stop when you reach 141 Worcester Street, just past the North Face store. You will immediately notice the charm of this narrow street paved with what most people call cobblestones. Cobblestone simply refers to uneven stones of varying shapes and sizes. Cobblestone was used to pave the streets in very early New York, but over time those streets eroded and were replaced with smoother, more evenly shaped Belgian blocks. As those streets wore down, they were paved over with asphalt. Soho is one district that has a number of streets with Belgian blocks. You can also find them in neighborhoods like Dumbo, Greenwich Village, and Tribeca.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
This is the Earth Room, an art gallery on the second floor whose only exhibit is a 3,600 square foot gallery space containing a 22 inch deep layer of dirt, weighing approximately 280,000 pounds. The gallery is open to the public for free. If you would like to see the Earth Room, ring buzzer number 2 to enter. Though you cannot touch the display or walk on it, it will provide you with a peaceful, natural sanctuary from the hustle and bustle of the street below. The Earth Room is open Wednesday through Sunday, 12 to 6 p.m., closed from 3 to 3:30 p.m. Now turn back around and walk towards Prince Street. When you reach the corner, make a left turn and walk one block to Green Street. Cross Green Street and stop on the corner at the Apple Store.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
The Apple Store where you are standing is a great place to use their restrooms, free Wi-Fi, or recharge any devices you may have. Once you are on the corner, turn around and look at the side of the building on the corner above the Camper Store. Here is a playful mural by artist Richard Haas. In 1975, Haas painted the side of this building as a trompe-l'œil, French for trick the eye, to mimic the cast iron facade on the front of the building. The building, 112 Prince Street, housed the Soho Center for Visual Arts from 1973 to 1985. The center was created for the benefit of the hundreds of artists settling in Soho in the 1970s. One such artist was Maya Lin, the noted sculptor of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. She lived and worked on one of the upper floors for a number of years. When you're ready to continue the tour, cross Prince Street and walk left, a few buildings in to number 102 Prince Street.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
This building was one of the locations used in the 1990 movie Ghost, starring Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze, and Whoopi Goldberg. This was shown as the building where Molly and Sam live. Several scenes were filmed inside the loft apartment, which is currently worth $10 million. Now continue on Prince Street to the corner of Mercer Street, where you will find Finelli's Cafe.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
Finelli's Cafe at 94 Prince Street is said to be the city's second oldest locale that continuously served alcohol. It was operated under different names with different owners, dating back to 1847. The first building on this site was a grocery, where customers could drink liquor and beer. From that point onward, whatever business operated at this locale, be it a grocery or a cafe, alcohol was always served. Even during Prohibition, when the making and selling of alcohol was illegal, you could find a drink at 94 Prince Street. In 1922, Michael Finelli purchased the existing cafe at 94 Prince and renamed it for his family, adding on the word cafe to give the impression that it was a food establishment. In fact, Finelli was running a speakeasy, which was a secret bar, since this was during the Prohibition era. The Finelli family owned the bar for over 60 years, until 1982 when they sold it to a new owner who has kept the name Finelli's. The Finelli Cafe is a stop on our self-guided historic bars of New York City tour. Now backtrack along Prince Street one block until you reach Green Street. Turn left onto Green Street and walk approximately 100 feet until you come to number 110 Green Street. You will see two abstract sculptures by the entrance to the building.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
When you arrive, look at the sidewalk in front of the building. Embedded in the sidewalk, you will see what looks like brass tracks ending in round LED lights. This is a piece of art created in 1986 by Belgian artist Françoise Schein. It is entitled Subway Map Floating on a New York Sidewalk, an 87-foot-long work that is more or less an accurate map of the subway as it was in 1986. This artwork is one of several sidewalk maps placed in other cities around the world, including Berlin, Paris, Brussels, Stockholm, and Lisbon. This piece of art is a part of Shine's larger project regarding human rights in the subways. The relationship between underground trains and the rights of man is explained on the Inscrir website, which says that for the artists, the subway appeared to be the most democratic place into which engrave philosophical concepts to address the people. Continue south now on Green Street. This will be against the flow of traffic. When you get to Spring Street, cross it, and then cross to the other side of Green Street. Walk about 200 feet until you get to Building 71, Green Street. Look for the shop signs Ons and Burton. When you reach number 71, turn around to look across the street. The building you'll see is 72 through 76 Green Street, or the King of Green Street.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
This cast iron beauty, built in 1873, is considered the finest example in Soho of French Renaissance design, and it earned the nickname the King of Green Street. It was designed by Isaac F. Duckworth, a master of cast iron architecture, whose other buildings can be seen in Soho as well as nearby Tribeca. Cast iron became the building material of choice for factories with showrooms in the Soho area in the 1870s. It was less expensive than stone or brick, but it was sturdy and pliable. That meant that building facades could be easily molded into ornate patterns that gave the buildings a prestigious appearance, thus bringing in wealthier customers. Significantly, for the first time, window frames could be larger, letting more natural light into the interior of these buildings. This was ideal for factory owners because electricity had yet to be invented, but light was needed for the work to be done. A century later, many of these gorgeous buildings were unoccupied, and Soho underwent its biggest transformation yet. We'll go into more detail about this at our next stop. Now backtrack north on Green Street to Spring Street and make a left onto Spring. Walk on Spring Street for one block. Then make a left turn onto Worcester Street and walk about 150 feet until 80 Worcester Street. The street-level shop in this building is The Real Real, a luxury consignment shop.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
Many people say that the transformation of Soho from a dying industrial district to an artsy neighborhood in the 1960s began here, at 80 Worcester Street. In the 1950s, advances in shipping, such as the use of large freight containers on truck beds, made it difficult for trucks to navigate the narrow streets of Soho. Eventually, industry moved out of the area, and Soho became a wasteland. Building owners were desperate for people to rent these large, lofty spaces, and they charged very little rent. The conditions were perfect to attract artists just starting out, as they could afford to live and work in these buildings with their large windows that let natural light flood in. But at the time, Soho was zoned only for commercial use, and it was illegal to live in these buildings. This didn't stop artists from moving in. One such artist, George McCunis, bought 80 Worcester Street and founded the Fluxus Group with Yoko Ono and other artists. McCunis had envisioned a Soho filled with artists who would participate in the communal or cooperative purchase of buildings, with entire floors costing $8,000 each. The building came to be called the Flux House Cooperative 2, where artists owned the building together. Hundreds of artists, filmmakers, writers, and musicians, such as Allen Ginsberg, Philip Glass, John Lennon, Yoko Ono, and Andy Warhol, showed their work in and around the building. The communal spirit of the Flux House eventually dissipated, and the city rezoned the area for mixed commercial and residential use. Like so many buildings in Soho, 80 Worcester Street was turned into co-op apartments. In 2013, the cost to buy a two-bedroom apartment in the formerly communal living space was just over $2 million. That is a 25,000% increase in just 46 years. Now walk south on Worcester Street until you reach Broome Street. Make a left and walk two blocks on Broome Street against the flow of traffic. Stop when you reach Mercer Street, where the Kate Spade store is. But listen to this next clip as you're walking. This street is named for John Broome, a New York politician of the Revolutionary and post-revolutionary era. His highest position was as lieutenant governor from 1804 until 1810. He was also a prominent merchant, credited with starting the importation of tea from China, with an initial cargo of 2 million pounds. As you're walking on Broome, keep an eye out for small circular glass dots embedded into the sidewalk in front of the cast iron buildings. These are called vault lights, and like tiny windows, they let sunlight into the basement. They were both stylish and functional when this neighborhood was being built up. Continue walking now until you reach the Kate Spade store. When you're there, look up diagonally across the street and you will see a long, skinny white building with beautiful decorative features. This is the Silk Exchange building.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
In 1894, wealthy developer John T. Williams built this long and narrow limestone 12-story building. This sliver of a building, with its intricate terracotta ornamentation on the upper floors, came to be known as the Slice of Wedding Cake Building. It has entrances on three different streets, Broadway, Broome, and Mercer, and provided convenient access to tenants and clients alike. Many of the tenants were in the silk industry, and thus this building was called the Silk Exchange Building. Over time, the silk industry moved out of the neighborhood, and other companies like Roebuck Manufacturing and the Newman Clock Company rented out space in the building. In 1985, the building was converted into 25 residential units. Now cross Mercer Street and walk one block on Broome Street until you reach Broadway. Look across the street at the 5-story white cast iron building on the corner, 490 Broadway. You will see Armani Box in the street level shop. This is the Howitt Building.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
From where you are standing on the corner, you can see many of this building's beautiful features, such as the intricate detailing along the top of the building's columns and on the underside of the overhang. The Howitt Building was erected in 1857 and modeled after a 16th century library in Venice, Italy. It housed E.V. Howitt & Company, a world-famous manufacturer and seller of fine china, exquisite porcelain, chandeliers, and more. President Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, purchased custom-made plates for the White House here. This building also has a place in the history of innovation, as it was the first building in the world to feature a hydraulic passenger elevator. It was designed and installed by Elisha Armstrong Otis. Many structures around the world have elevators that were installed by the Otis Elevator Company, including the Eiffel Tower, the Empire State Building, and the first World Trade Center towers. Next time you're in an elevator, look at the threshold. You may just see the name Otis. Soho today is considered one of the premier shopping areas of New York City, much like it was in the era of Howitt's. Prada, Armani Exchange, Stella McCartney, Hugo Boss, Ralph Lauren, Chanel, and Bloomingdale's Soho are just a few of the high-end retailers found on Soho's streets. The area is also home to numerous designer lighting and furnishing shops. While stores are scattered throughout the neighborhood, Broadway, Prince Street, Spring Street, and West Broadway are the primary shopping thoroughfares. Their sidewalks are also lined with street vendors selling handmade jewelry, scarves, handbags, sunglasses, caps, and more. Cross Broadway to take a closer look at the Howitt Building, and then cross Broome Street to the south side of the street. Walk along Broome for 1.5 blocks until you come to 421 Broome Street. The street-level shop is a boutique called Lafayette 148.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
This building, 421 Broome Street, was the former home of now-deceased brilliant actor Heath Ledger. This star of many movies, most notably Brokeback Mountain and The Dark Knight, was found dead in a fourth-floor apartment in this building. Ledger, who was just 28 years old, died of an accidental prescription drug overdose. Within a few hours of the news of his death being made public, media, mourners, and fans gathered outside the building leaving flowers. Now continue on Broome Street, and when you reach the short, light brick building that says NYC Transit Station, look up and you will see a giant mural on the adjacent building's sidewall. This mural is by artist DeFace, entitled Double Crossed, and is a part of the Lisa Project. Continue to the corner and make a right turn onto Lafayette. This corner building has some great street art.
Pause until you reach the next stop.
We'll finish our tour here so that you can enjoy these beautiful works, which are part of the LISA project. LISA stands for Little Italy Street Artist Project. To see some more of this area, consider signing up for one of our Pay What You Wish Soho, Chinatown, and Little Italy tours. We also offer other audio tours, such as Brooklyn Bridge, Greenwich Village, Lower Manhattan, and more. Visit our website at www.freetoursbyfoot.com for more details. Thanks for joining me, and we hope to see you again soon.